listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Right, okay, hello, welcome to episode 331 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. You actually are?
I'm stunning and amazing.
You've got an exciting week coming up, or?
I have, yeah.
Lots going on, we'll talk about that shortly. It's actually, we've timed this pretty well for once. The day this is going out, Thursday the 10th of October 2019, is World Mental Health Day.
Yeah.
I think there's a bit of a link between mental health and what we try and talk about each week, so we'll focus on that today, the ins and outs of mental health.
Sounds good.
Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. All the show notes and links are there. What you been up to, or what's going on?
Well, I'm at one of those points in life, rite of passage. I shall be doing my last clinic in the NHS this afternoon.
Wowzers. How long have you been involved in that little organisation?
1988 was the first time I was involved with the NHS.
Wow, okay.
So, quite a while.
Did you take a photo on your first day in there?
No, should have done.
What you look like?
I looked just as handsome then as I do now.
Of course. Wow, okay, that's a big deal, isn't it, man? I mean, for you and for the people you've been working with for 30 odd years.
I'm the kind of person who will never stop working. I'm just going to change things about, as Ree used to say to me, you've ever thought of going part-time just doing 40 hours a week? So I'm going to try and cut down and probably do 30 hours a week and just work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and spend the Monday and the Friday doing all the things I keep promising to finish, like the books and the audio books and all that kind of stuff. So there's loads of stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to try and change the way I focus what I'm doing at the moment.
Well, you just said there's loads of stuff to do, and that's part of the theme of today, really, talking about mental health, because there will always be loads of stuff to do. If anything, there's going to be more stuff to do. There's always more to do, isn't there?
One of the tough things for me in making my decision to go from the NHS is that they're replacing me with the card service, with the telephone, which won't provide the same stuff. It might provide different stuff. The feedback that I've got is both ways from people that have tried using it. Some people said it's awful, some people said it's worked for them. You know?
Yeah.
But the idea that the idea of supporting people in organisations like the NHS is diminishing, whereas from a mental health point of view, we're saying we need more support. And from the point of view of private companies, it's amazing how many private companies are asking for help to support their staff.
Mm.
And we've got the NHS, which is kind of cutting down on it.
Yep.
Which is kind of sad, really.
All right, well, let's roll it in and let's kind of start from the basics. So, yeah, it's World Mental Health Day today. I mean, in theory, it's a good time to focus on it, obviously, but every day is World Mental Health Day, really, because, you know, we're all, I guess, at the heart of what every person is trying to do is to be happy and healthy and have a kind of stable existence where...
I think the important thing to realise is that we talk about mental health like it's something that's wrong, but everybody has mental health like everyone's got physical health. So either you're physically fit and you could be mentally or emotionally fit, same kind of thing. And in the same way that your body gets ill and sometimes you'll need some medication or some assistance with it, you know, a bit of physio or whatever.
Yep.
It's exactly the same with your mind and your emotions. There's times when they get ill and you need to have some kind of medication sometimes, or you need to have a bit of therapy to get it right.
Yep.
You know, so it's like doing mental physio, really.
Mm.
And a lot of stuff is like that, especially the mindfulness stuff. And it's realising how important it is to focus on your mental health. I've said this before on this thing, but I'll say it again. When I'm on the planes going to Qatar, they do this amazing thing on the safety video where it shows a woman sat next to a child and the mask dropped down. And the message is you have to put your mask on first before you attend to the child.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's a kind of profound message. And for me, it's like that with all these things. It's like you can't look after other people if you don't look after you.
Ah, yeah.
And in that sense, the you is the most important person in your life to enable you to do the things you could do for others.
Yeah, I guess when you talk, and you work in the NHS, or you will do until, well, a few hours from now.
Yeah.
You're dealing with staff in the health service, many of whom, you know, and it's the same across, you know, any profession really, are under a lot of pressure to deliver, you know, a good service to people.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you work with folks in the NHS specifically, in like nurses and doctors, who are under a lot of pressure? How do you make sure their heads are screwed on right so that they can then deliver the right service?
Well, the issue would be mindfulness as well. So people are developing mindful practice, so they're attending to their own needs as they go along, so they stay mentally healthy. And the second thing is that phrase that I'm going to have imprinted on my forehead, which is, if we all look after each other, we're all going to be okay. And that's the key to mental health in most cases. How many times do we know someone who lives near us who lives on their own, is lonely? Mm. You know, he maybe isn't going to get a Christmas dinner. You know, that kind of stuff. We could be looking after each other much more than we do.
Yeah.
And we're not that good at it yet. Yeah, and I do believe that potentially we're getting better. And I think that this Mental Health Day shows some of that.
Yeah, I think we are getting better. And just from the prominence that mental health has given, you know, I've spotted a huge shift in, I don't know, like the last 10 years in how it's talked about. You know, and you see a lot of celebrities now online, on the news, kind of popping their heads above the parapet and, you know, saying, you know, that I've suffered a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think
it is people being prepared to talk about it. And one of the most profound ones is, I can't remember her name now, mine's gone blank, the girl that won the Bake Off.
Tenet? Oh, so
what's her name?
Yeah.
It'll come back to me.
Go on, it'll come to you. I know.
But she's amazing, because she actually came out and said that that she had anxiety and suffers all kinds of problems. And you never would have, no idea, that's it, that you never would have thought of it, of her. But she is so open about it. And there are lots of sports personalities have come out and admitted that they've had anxiety issues and mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the more that people do that, the more it normalises it.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm prepared to say, look, you know, there's times when I have real problems, then other people go, well, yeah, there's times when I have problems too, rather than it being something that we don't talk about. Because that's the way it's always been, is that somehow if you've got a mental health issue, then you're letting the side down and you can't talk about it. You know?
So what was it like 30 years ago when you were fresh-faced in the NHS? And not that you're not fresh-faced now. when things weren't talked about like this so much, like, was there more or less work for you? Were people... I'm just trying to think, because it's talked about so much now, is there a rush for help because all of a sudden
When I first got involved with the NHS, the idea of doing staff support was out the window. And you were in a situation as a nurse that if you dared to take time off, then people would actually look down on you, like you were letting the side down. You weren't, you know, you're off sick with stress. Well, we've all got stress. What's the matter with you? Get back to work, kind of thing. And it has changed since the 80s, that people are much more prepared and willing.
I'm just desperately, quickly trying to look at some statistics, because the focus for this year's mental health, according to the website, where is it? I'm going to link this in the show notes, mentalhealth.org.uk.
Yeah. Yeah.
The focus is on suicide prevention in particular.
Yeah.
So I'm just desperately trying to find out statistics on the UK as of whether suicide has gone up or down. But potentially, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of how, because we're talking about it so much and people are being encouraged to come forward, is there a mad rush for help from someone like you and other professional counsellors and therapists?
Yeah. When I was first did what I was doing and what I do now, I was like a missionary, doing missionary work, whereas now there are lots of people like me out there. There weren't in the beginning. When you start to look at it, and you start to look at what's going on in the world, and you look at some of the statistics, what we know is that one in four people in any one year are going to seek some kind of support in the UK, right? But one in six people in any one week are going to experience depression or anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that we're talking about a phenomenal amount of people. And when you start to look at each area of life, and whether we're looking at professions, whether we're looking at things like aging, or whether we're looking at the general mental health issues, is that I think that people are more, what's the phrase? People are more vulnerable to mental health issues now than they ever were. And I think that is a progressive thing as you move from an agricultural society into an industrial society, into a technological society, because the amount of information that we process is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then the amount of expectations we have on ourselves is phenomenal.
I've got stats here, so from the ONS in the UK.
Yeah.
So this is suicides per, I think it's per 100,000 of the population or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, from the kind of mid 80s, there has been a relatively steady decline overall. Men are like almost twice as likely to commit suicide than women. There was a bit of a spike, it looks like, in 1995, 96, and then it started to fall again.
There is a bit of a hidden thing in those stats, though, in that the issue between men and women is very often, if you look at the statistics, women have made more attempts at suicide, but men have been more successful.
Right.
And it's because of the way they do it. Men tend to jump, hang, shoot, whereas women take pills and stuff like that and very often get found or whatever.
There is a worrying spike as well. I don't know if it explains why here. In 2018, so last year, across men and women, there was an up. So I'm sure people will debate the ins and outs of why that occurred, but I'm just trying to think of like modern day life being not suicide in itself, but just almost, we've talked about this a lot, haven't we, about how the race for productivity and economic growth and all that has caused just a lot of stress because we're all busy trying to be busy and do things.
And the other thing that I see is I see reactive suicide in reaction to events. And not wanting to sound dramatic on my favourite topic of Brexit, but it's like if Brexit makes a lot of people have a lot of problems, there will be a relevant increase in suicides as people go with that.
Yeah.
And from some of the areas I'm working in, I can see that as being a probability.
Mm-hmm.
In some more vulnerable areas of society.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not. Yeah. I mean, we won't talk about Brexit, I promise. But put Brexit aside, there is a lot of pressure on a lot of Western countries, aren't there? Because I feel like we've reached this point of economic growth, kind of maxed. We're maxed out on it, really. And that's kind of, you link that in with environmental stuff, which I like to do.
Yeah.
We're pushing the boundaries of what's physically possible in the world. And there's a lot of pushback from planet Earth and from, you know, people that are campaigning. And everyone's got different ideas about what the right course of action is. We've kind of reached breaking point to, you know, use a tagline from one of Nigel Farage's favourite posters. I do feel like the whole planet Earth is at breaking point, isn't it?
Mm.
Really?
I don't know whether the planet Earth is at breaking point. I think that maybe the thing that's at breaking point is human beings' tenure of the planet, and maybe what happens is Mother Nature gets rid of the pollution by getting rid of human beings, and then Mother Nature reclaims itself.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is all linked, all this stuff, isn't it? For
sure.
You know, and I've set up rethink, and partly because I was wanting to get more people on bikes, but then the more you explore the problem of transport and how we get around and why are we getting around and why we have to be around and get dashing here, there, everywhere. It does a lot of it comes back to mental health and the amount of pressure that we put on ourselves.
Yep.
Each and every day. There's a couple of hot spots on Wirral, aren't there? Where I live nearby, Clatteridge Roundabout, there's a lot of signs up now for people because it's a popular place-ish for people committing suicide.
Right along the motorway there's been several bridges where people have been jumping.
Yeah.
And we've had sort of 3 years sometimes, you know.
Because, I mean, there is a mental health ward at Clatteridge Hospital, so People heading out for a stroll, or I don't know if escaping is the right word, that's the quickest place to get to and off you go.
There's something interesting about suicide, because some people commit suicide very quietly and neatly, and other people make big expressive gestures of it. And when you stop a motorway with thousands of vehicles and people, because you're on a bridge, it's a very spectacular thing to do.
Yeah,
And there's different kinds of personalities approach that in different ways. You know?
Yeah, and I read the comments sometimes, which I shouldn't do, under a news article when something has happened. And a lot of the comments are around sticking plaster stuff in terms of putting up higher fencing and what have you, so that people with huge mental health issues that are taking that, like, the most extreme form of action to fix their minds.
Yeah.
Are obviously inconveniencing people in some way. So it's like, let's put up a bigger fence so they can't get in my way anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So what else would they go? Where would they walk to, or what would they do instead?
But that's the same for me about the kind of immigration thing and putting up borders and stuff. So rather than attending to each other's needs, we're cutting people out and saying, you get on with it, rather than sharing. Mm.
It's crazy. Like, what is the goal with mental health? Like, because a lot of people some people will have kind of spikes up and downs in their happiness, so they'll be really happy and then they'll go really sad. And I'd like to think that I have a bit of more of a shallower wave depth, so I'm never mega happy and ecstatic and jumping around, but I'm never really low as well.
But I think that wave of up and down is a daily, hourly event for everybody.
Yeah.
I think that the depth of it is a reality.
If you are more prone to have higher highs, do you have automatically lower lows?
But in Buddhism, they always said you should neither be happy nor sad. You should be in the middle, because the contrast is the thing.
Yeah.
But I personally like a bit of woo. I like a bit of up. I like a bit of woo, come on. But I accept the fact that there's going to be a relative amount of low from that highness.
Is it possible to have... You don't want to be woo all the time. You don't want to have to be way up there. But obviously, at the same time, you don't want to dip too low. But is it possible to have really high highs and then come back to just normal, general highs, or...
If you go back to the mindfulness stuff, what you feed grows, what you starve dies. If you want to live in the high world, you can live in the high world. And if you go down into the depth, and then you focus on the depth, it goes deeper.
Hmm.
You know, we have choices. And I think that's something that people have only just begun to realise.
Yeah.
But, you know, rather than being a victim of our minds and a victim of circumstance, we're actually in control of it if we want to be. Yeah.
Well, control is, I guess, what I want to chat about next, because, you know, as rock solid as your mental health might be, something will always crop up in our lives to kind of boosh, whack you about the chops in it, whether it's the death of a loved one or, you're driving along and someone doesn't see the give way sign and smashes into you at 40 miles an hour. So Is good mental health about knowing that these things down the road, to use that analogy, will come at some point and being ready?
The important thing is, and people...
resilience is the word, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, it's coming back again. Mm-hmm. People get a bit angry sometimes when you talk in these terms, but the reality is that it isn't what happens to you, it's how you respond to it. You know, bad things happen in life. Yeah, I like my legs. If I lose a leg, I've got a choice now. I can either get depressed and miserable and feed that whole idea about I've lost a leg, or I can work out ways about, hey, look at this implant, look at this bit that I've got and how they've made this joint work, and isn't that amazing? And I can actually look at it differently. And it is that choice point. Bad things always happen, but good things always happen as well. The news is full of bad things, it's not about good things. Where's our mind? Where's our focus? And a lot of mental health is about focusing on the negative. I think you have to be clear in this, because there are three situations. I mean, one is genetic. Some people have a genetic predisposition towards certain kinds of mental states. some people have clinical issues, which is where their chemistry's gone out and they need medication.
Yep.
And some people have reactive issues where something's gone and they're reacting to it.
Yep. Yeah?
And those three are quite different in terms of how you experience them and how you deal with them. With genetic issues, you can usually only medicate. You can do some change because there is neuroplasticity. You can do that. With clinical issues, yes, neuroplasticity and medication, sometimes some talking therapy. And with reactive issues, definitely talking therapy, sometimes a bit of medication. But it's the issue of, it isn't just a case of, hey, just kind of ship up and think good and it's great and everything's going to be fine. It's not as simple as that, because you have to work on things. But it's having that positive expectation that if I work on this, it's going to be different, it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Physical health, you've got to get your body moving, you've got to actually work your body and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have mental health, you've got to get your mind and your emotions going and work them so that they can work.
Yeah, well, you're using that word work a lot there, and I think a lot of people who are maybe in work, I'm talking in the 9-to-5 stuff, where they're not fulfilled, and they think that if only they had less time working and more time to do, either to go on holiday or to just sit around, they'd be happier, whereas I feel like we're put on planet Earth to work, like, you know, I'm not talking necessarily about breaking your back, digging stuff out of the ground. I'm talking about getting work done that's meaningful to you and it helps humankind kind of advance that little bit.
One of the biggest, in my experience in the work I do, one of the biggest causes of people losing their sense of self and therefore getting depressed or anxious is retirement.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When I look at the U3A, where I do that, the work with the older people, and there are people that are amazingly motivated, doing amazing things, are amazingly bright, and you know they're still there.
Yeah, still got the spark.
Yeah.
Retirement is a time of life when, for a lot of people, poor mental health can really kick in, because all of a sudden you kind of feel like you've lost your meaning a little bit, and your purpose in life.
Yeah. Who am I?
Even if you might have been looking forward to retirement on paper, because you've been working for 30, 40 years in a job, you know, working hard, but waiting for a rest. But then you get to it, life stops or slows down, and then you don't know what you've done.
I've worked with loads of people who took early retirement in their 50s, and then by the time they're in their 70s, they are bored, witless, and really depressed, because they've done all the things they wanted to do, and there's nothing left.
They've done all the bucket list tick box.
Yep.
Travelling stuff.
And then they end up, one of the things I say to people, if you ever thought of getting a job, when you go out and get a job, do something, even if it's a charity shop or whatever it is, go and do something with yourself.
Yep.
You know, fill your life up, get happy.
Loads to do, man. I mean, the church I go to in Heswell, fairly regularly, it's full of retired people that are full of woo and full of, you know, whether it's getting involved in the church work and running workshops, or it might just be helping out on the coffee rota after the service and all that. There's people there that are there, you know, obviously to worship and look out for this higher being, but also I think the main reason a lot of people go to church when they're older is because it's a great place to go and work and get involved with people.
But we are group animals. We're you know, the hairless apes. We are the people that need to be in groups and troops and families.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if you don't do that, then you do get depressed.
Mm. At what point do we need, like, professional help? Because, we can all read blogs and we can listen to podcasts and yada, yada, yada. But what point does poor mental health become, like, seriously poor?
I think that's...
Like, people go to the gym. Do we need a gym for the mind? Should we all be getting weekly sessions with someone?
But I don't know that it should be weekly sessions with someone. But I think, you know, like, you listen to TED Talks.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. Things that are kind of inspirational, things that lift you up. Things like that feed that part of you. If you spend your life listening to bad news on the television, and then you go and watch television series that are about kind of murder and people's misery and all that kind of stuff, you know, what do you expect to happen to your emotional self? Where's your positivity? You know,
I've just got through Chernobyl, the series, in a couple of days last week, actually, and it's only 5 episodes, but it's grim, man. It's really dark.
Is it?
amazing. Like, it's, I think they pushed the limits, and obviously they dramatised it a little bit in certain places.
And did you feel better for having watched it?
I don't know if better is the right word. I felt enlightened in the sense of how horrendous that was, and how close hundreds of thousands of people came. And, you know, obviously there were tens of thousands of cases of cancer, and still probably it's still playing out. You know, you can't go near that place in a lot of respects.
Yep.
But I guess bringing a positive of knowing the story of Chernobyl, then it was quite enlightening in the sense that we learned a lot from that, you know, the royal we from that incident.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But yeah, I watch a lot of dark movies and TV shows, and I listen to Radiohead. They're my favourite band in the world by a million miles, and a lot of Radiohead are associated with depression and, like, you know, when I said at school I'm into Radiohead, it's like, oh, slit your wrists, all that kind of stuff. But I get an amazing amount of joy from their music because they're just miles better than any other band in the world.
Because you want to slit your wrists.
So just because you listen to certain things or watch certain things doesn't automatically mean you have to be depressed, although maybe if you are that way inclined, Chernobyl is not the drama you should be watching. Just yet.
You want to watch something that makes you laugh.
Yeah,
it makes it fun.
Yeah. Which I do a bit of that as well. All right, have you got a resource for us then?
Well, my resource is the NHS site, which is Every Mind Matters, and there's a thing here where you can fill out a quiz and you can create your own mind plan to kind of get your head right. And that's fun, I think. It's kind of a game, but it's a good way of looking at yourself and just kind of checking yourself out.
Cool. Yeah. All right, well, I'm not going to mention Chernobyl as my resource. Although, yeah, you should watch it. It's amazing, but it's dark, my word. brilliant. Who'd have thought, man? Listen to
I'm going to have to go and watch it now.
A podcast about mental health, and Ed recommends watching Chernobyl. Mind, the charity, they've got some resources based on today's Day of Action, and loads of other things as well. Really good. They're doing some really good work. Okay, Sean, I want to say thank you for your service to the National Health Service.
Thank you very much.
31 years. Planned a third.
You don't see me too much.
I know. I know you'll carry on working, doing all sorts of crazy things.
Yeah, I will.
Right, have a good week.
And you.
See you later.
Be happy.
Ta-da.